The Fourth Reich, this week on Destructomundo.
Witnesses to the effect of people who acted as though they were in a kind of trance were killing and eating their victims, prompted authorities to examine the bodies of several victims. Medical authorities in Cumberland have concluded that in all cases, the killers are eating flesh. People they murdered. Repeating this, they have public justice in Cumberland, Maryland. Civil defense authorities are holding murder victims. No evidence of having been partially devoured by their murderers.
Nazis.
Hey,
we'd like to introduce our guest host this week, and Adam, welcome to the show.
Thanks.
Adam is our resident resident Nazi expert.
I was going to say, find a good way to phrase that.
Yeah, no, I really didn't want to out him as like, yeah, Adam's our closet Nazi.
He's a enthusiast.
Yeah, no, we didn't have Chad on the show. Bazing! Chad is our reenactment group Nazi.
Reenactment Nazi.
Yep.
He's a
Chad actually is part of a reenactment group where he totes a Mauser for the cause.
Yeah, those were the days. Weren't they?
I don't know. I wasn't part of that.
I don't know.
But I do know this much. Chopping Nazis is the funnest thing you can do.
Yes. I like killing Nazis. Unfortunately, I currently have to settle for the virtual experience.
Yeah, I know. Well, there's plenty of it. I mean, it's almost gotten to a glut of Nazi shooters.
As far as I'm concerned, you can't overdo it. No. I can never kill too many Nazis. I can never get tired of it. But there's something just so...
Right. There's always going to be more...
But they're out, you know, they're beyond the virtual stuff. They're out there, man. There's real ones. They're still out there.
Well, let's start with the end of World War II, and there's Hitler's quote unquote dead. And the Third Reich is over, and the Fourth Reich has yet to begin. There's chaos in Europe. And the organization Odessa, made up of XSS members, working to getting those people, those XSS members out of Europe, starts up. Working to get them over into...
Get the Nazis out of Europe.
Which is the only safe haven in the world at that time would have been South America, as they had managed to stay out of the war.
Well, Brazil was actually involved in the war, but
as far as it went.
I know some of them went to Syria. Some of them were piped into the Middle East.
There were some Middle Eastern countries that were safe havens, but
supposedly, I don't remember really read anything substantiated, but they did help some of the Arab countries try to stamp out Israel after, I don't know if it was actually the 48 war or it was like in subsequent ones.
Mm. But well, that makes sense.
Supposedly there were German ex-Nazi advisors helping out, was it the Arab League or whatever they called themselves?
Well, there were SS, there were former SS in the French Foreign Legion fighting in Indochina,
and then,
later Vietnam.
And then when they found out that they were all SS guys and kicked them out, then the French started to lose.
Yeah, basically got surrounded, and then we had to come in 58 and help.
See, the French still couldn't do it.
Nope.
Even when they had Nazis working for
them. And then they got basically kicked out in the Republic of... Vietnam Republic of...
Yeah, so... Yeah, so obviously, there were Nazis made it out of... Well, I guess not. A lot of them even stayed in Europe, you know?
If the ones that could hide...
Some came here, you know?
They always seem to end up in Detroit, though. Working for
somewhere in upstate New York, and
right?
But
there had been a lot of German migration to South America starting in like the late 1800s.
Yeah,
yeah.
So that's what made it so easy. I mean, there were, you know, Germans down there who sympathized with those back home, you know, and like, well, you know, they were all for it. Get them down there, you know.
So. Well, the Germans had tried an inroad on getting Mexico to side with them before the war, before we had entered the war.
Yeah, they tried that in World War One too, though. Or yeah,
and had worked to get the Mexican government
they're just so
decide.
Lazy.
Oh boy.
They don't have that German work ethic, do they?
Well, yeah. I guess everybody's lazy when you consider the German work ethic.
Except the Japanese. Which is why they worked so well together.
Yes.
Hard working sons of bitches.
Sure.
Yeah.
Too hard working.
Well, when you're that motivated. When you're better than everybody, it's easy.
Sure.
You know?
Well, at least it's not taking place nowadays.
Yeah. So.
Well, that's what we're here to talk about.
Yes,
well,
it is happening.
I'm just glad that Japan isn't making robots for the war effort. You know what I'm saying?
At least they've given up on their imperial dreams.
Sure.
Well, they're kind of reviving it now.
Well, they want an army.
Yeah.
If you ask the general populace, they want an army.
Yeah, they just want to participate.
They're just
tired
of writing all those initials for the Japanese self-defense force.
Sure.
Yeah.
The science patrol.
Yeah.
The ones that... When do they get those ray gun things on the truck, you know, that
sure.
they shoot Godzilla with? They want to take those out there.
They want to put into place the stuff that they've been working out.
They want to get rid of the white helmets and the white gloves that they wear in all the Godzilla movies.
Yeah, well, they got tired of the Beastie Boys making fun of them in all their videos. Yeah.
So, yeah, we don't have to worry about them. But the Nazis are out there.
Got a lot of gold.
Yep. Nazi gold, that's what's funding it. You have, like, Otto Skorzeny. The rescuer of Mussolini during the war, very high level SS
one time most dangerous man alive.
Sure, scar-faced.
The father of modern special operations.
Yep,
they all
rescued Mussolini with less than 20 men.
Yeah,
in a fortified compound.
There's a great quote from him: "There's no substitute for violence of action and volume of fire."
He was like 8 feet tall.
He was a tall man.
He was 8 feet tall, and he once ate an entire cow in 15 minutes. Raw. And washed it down with a crate of champagne. And he had sex with an entire village.
Once I was in Corpus Christi, and I saw an Asian man as a... What was it? An Asian waiter, and he was 8 feet tall.
Yeah, so.
And,
but yes, Otto Skorzeny was big in Odessa. He was also close friends with the Perones.
Yep. He managed to make it to Argentina, train their military, and would make frequent trips back to Europe as an Argentinian citizen.
Before you got miles for that.
Yeah, exactly. And would come back, you know, every time and was... rumored to have been funding Argentina's army or military efforts with possible influence or influxes of Nazi gold.
Sure, yeah.
And if anybody would have known where it was, it would have been Skorzeny, I believe.
It's probably all ended up in Spain.
You think so? I mean, Spain was a harbor for lots of Nazis because you had Franco in charge, and Franco owed a hell of a lot to the Nazis. If anything.
Sure. The Spanish Civil War was their practice field for World War II.
So. Which, yeah. So I assume that some of the Nazi gold could have been contained in Spain after the war. It's hard to say. But yeah, that's... And I mean, Skorzeny's caught hell from the international press for being who he was and doing what he was doing. And he was very unapologetic.
Yeah. And he was, you know, something of a, almost like a playboy in a weird sort of way.
Sure. Well, I believe if any of this stuff that has been attributed to the Fourth Reich is possible, it started with that man. You know, the possibility of a scientific effort to keep Hitler's brain alive.
Brain in a jar filled with some sort of uranium.
You see, that's just it. I've said that all along. If you have a brain in a jar as an enemy, you are screwed.
Yeah. Never. That's one of my fundamental principles of life, never underestimate a brain in a jar.
Hell no. Hell no. Because they can do anything they want to.
So if you have Hitler's atomic brain in a jar somewhere,
you're screwed.
You're screwed.
Well, if you have it, well...
Well, I mean, you have it as a, you know...
It's probably hooked up to the internet by now.
Probably. Hitler's jacked into the internet. His brain's hardwired.
He's probably obsessed with scheisse porn.
I like the scheisse porn.
He probably has that Stephen Hawking voice, too, because it's hooked up to one of those voice things, you know?
Only would it be, like, sharp in German?
That's what my answering machine sounds like. God, I got Hitler for an answering machine.
That could be very well true.
Well, you know, so... They preserve some sort of DNA samples of him for to make the clones?
Yes, exactly. I mean, once you have living tissue or tissue that can be, DNA can be extracted from, then you work on making the Hitler clones.
Hmm.
The subject of the famous book, Boys from Brazil.
Yes.
Well, then if...
And movie.
If Hitler really died in Berlin in 1945, then the people who would have his DNA would be the ex-Soviet regime.
Possibly, if they even had Hitler's body, because it was burned.
Yeah.
By Hitler's men.
Yeah, but, you know, you could still extract DNA from...
Well,
it wouldn't have to be so incinerated.
Hitler may have,
dust.
Like, you know, other tyrannical leaders had, because he was in fear of his life from his own men, had... It's possible that, you know, and he was afraid of assassination. He may have had doubles. It would not be much of a step to believe that he did have doubles.
Yeah.
In order to keep, you know, people from knowing exactly where he was at any given time. And then one of those doubles could have been shot in the head, taken outside, burned to a crisp.
And then he got on the submarine.
And then he got away.
He got onto the...
The submarine in the Oder River and made it to the North Sea.
Well, you know, I mean, they got him to... Yeah, he got to the... You know, he got into the submarine and went to the secret base in Antarctica.
Ah.
That's where they all wound up. Eventually. All the important ones. A lot of them made it
close
to...
Close proximity to... To the Cape Horn.
But there's the secret... There's the secret Nazi base.
No, is it the Cape of Good Hope or the Cape... Cape.
Which continent are you talking about?
South
Cape
America.
Of the Good Hope is on
That's Africa.
Okay, yeah, it's Cape Horn then.
In Tierra del Fuego.
Yeah.
That's South America.
Yeah.
But no, there's a secret Nazi base at New Schwabenland. That's where they... And then, like... Come on, don't you guys know your friggin' conspiracies, man?
You gotta enlighten us, man.
Okay,
Nazi UFOs were in the Arctic.
There's a opening to the hollow earth.
That's
at each
hollow
pole.
That's the hollow earth, man. Yeah.
And the Nazis were, in fact, in league with the hollow earthers. And they used hollow earther technology to build the flying saucers that were the Foo Fighters, right?
Yeah.
That the guys saw. That was Nazi UFOs built using hollow earther technology. But when the Nazis realized... It goes back to all the stuff from the late 30s, like the Lost Ark, Holy Grail expeditions, when they went to Tibet to train with the Tibetan black magic. I can't remember it's the Bon, I think the Bon religion, which is like it predates Buddhism and Taoism in Tibet. It's like
it's the root of it.
And, yeah, and, but and it's, came, it's yeah. a lot of, there's like the sort of dark wizard black magic dudes. That
a lot hunt. Like the ancient religion of like the
And those guys are linked to like, Himmler and the Wavelsberg stuff and the weird stuff at Wavelsberg Castle where they had the shrine where they were going to put in the 12 knights of the SS and they had the special room where they were going to put the Grail when they found it and all that supposed stuff. But supposedly there's this story that they sent this, they actually did send an expedition to Antarctica sometime in the late 30s. And then there's this conspiracy theory type thing that there's this big base down there that they built. It was like their secret last refuge. And so they had this secret base there. And then like late, you know, it's basically throughout, you know, the first part of 1945, leading up to the end of the war, when they realize it's done, they've started to ship all this secret stuff down there in these special submarines. And supposedly there's all these documents that say, you know, so-and-so saw this manifest on this sub, and it had all this weird shit, and they were shipping scientists down there and all the secret shit that they built at the end of the war, including the flying saucers that they got from the Hollow Earthers.
Yeah.
So there's a secret Nazi base at New Schwabenland, which is, I think, perhaps adjacent to Queen Maud Land and perhaps the Ross Ice Shelf, but I'm not sure. I don't know my Antarctic geography.
Yeah, I know the Weddell Sea, and then you have, like,
But anyway, the big culmination of all this, which is somewhat linked to something that actually is real, in 1947, there was a huge U.S. Navy operation to Antarctica called Operation High Jump. And that's real. And one of the senior officers in Operation High Jump, he wasn't all, but Nimitz was there. Nimitz might have been actually the man in charge. But one of the senior officers was Byrd. Because they were going to Antarctica, and Byrd had obviously been. And officially and ostensibly, it was this big operation to carry out aerial mapping of Antarctica. And, you know, mostly along the coastlines, because they went in summertime when there was a minimal amount of ice, and you could actually map what was actually the permanent coastline and not just a bunch of ice where you can't tell, you know, what's real and what's never. Anyway, it was this huge task force of like 13, 14 ships and several thousand people, because obviously that's a big thing to undertake, you know, all this stuff. And they were building some semi-permanent facilities, I guess one of those like Little America type things, you know, stuff. But anyway, the conspiracy thing is that it was a huge covert operation to assault the Nazi fortress in Antarctica. And that Byrd actually led this, like, you know, combat force down there.
Great movie.
I know, Operation High Jump. But yeah, that's the, you know, that there was actually this secret Nazi fortress down there, and that Byrd led this, like, you know, cross Antarctic, you know, combat force to assault this Nazi fortress buried in the ice down in Antarctica, which is where they had stockpiled all the cool, weird, you know, top secret shit.
They're just weather balloons.
but
they're Nazi.
But I mean, obviously, high jumps are a real. Was a real thing. But you can, you know, and then it caused a big stir with a lot of South American countries, because they thought it was like sort of U.S. imperialism, you know.
Sure.
We roll in this big. And it was tied to a lot of, there were a lot of rumors that we were down there like prospecting for uranium and shit. Obviously that was a big deal, you know, in 1947. But
it's not necessary. The United States has one of the largest uranium reserves in the world.
So. But it caused a big stir at the time. But we were just saying, you know, we're just doing aerial mapping. But it's a big conspiracy thing that's where the Nazi elite really went to at the end of the war, to this secret base in Antarctica. And
I'm surprised they haven't, like, tied that into the whole, like, Falklands War. There was Argentina trying to, you know, hook back up. But
they needed the Falklands because they were drilling underneath the ocean and coming up in the Falklands.
Well, or that the Falklands were just, you know, just like that one piece of like British imperialism down in their area, and they had to get rid of it to link up.
Yeah, but see, it's weird. Like,
well, they wanted to buy sea land,
say the last of the old
which
guys.
Is that like place off the coast of England that it's that abandoned World War II platform that they had, and then
it's like a radar platform or anti-aircraft.
Yeah, and they abandoned it, but. It was picked up by this guy, and he started the country of Sealand. And then, oddly enough, he got a call from some Germans that wanted him to, like, well, they wanted to store some stuff in Sealand, and they wanted to. He came to Germany to talk to him, and while he was in Germany, his son was there, and they came. And took over Sealand, and he had to.
We invade your Sealand.
Yeah, well, they took over Sealand, and they kicked his son out.
Technically, they annexed it.
Yeah, they annexed
because it was historically it had always been there.
Yeah, right, right. Well, it wasn't the German government; it was some German industrial.
Well, you know, the people of Sealand are so close to us, really. Traditionally, we've always been one and the same. We just need more living space.
Yeah. We need more living room.
So we need your sea land, but...
Yeah, we're not in the news bunker tonight. We're in Derek's Lebensraum.
My space station. Space station Delta 2.
That's right. We are in the space station tonight with our guest Adam. And again, we were talking about Nazis.
So I think that if Hitler's atomic brain is still active and plotting the Fourth Reich, it's
controlling Odessa, and Odessa is maneuvering.
I think it's in the secret fortress in Antarctica, near the South Pole. Near the South Polar opening to the Hollow Earth. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder what ever happened to Bormann.
Nobody knows.
Yeah. He probably died some really lame, boring death somewhere. Yeah. He probably just went somewhere.
Mengele. Mengele died of old age.
Yeah, he died in the 80s.
Mengele was... he even had a pseudonym that was known, Mendeleev. And he died in... I forget. He was in Venezuela, I believe.
Venezuela. That's where... Eichmann. He was in
Well, his
Argentina.
Son had gone to visit him several times before his death, and then after his death revealed to the world that he had died.
Yeah, and then they, not too long...
Well, you couldn't reveal that he had died before his death.
Or unless he wanted to lie about it.
They wouldn't do that.
No, I don't... Yes. I mean, because Mengele, according to the book Boys from Brazil, was in charge of... making sure that the Hitler clones were put in the proper homes.
Got to recreate the childhood conditions.
That's right. He had to make sure that the clones were put in the proper families, but then they were going to pull the plug on the entire operation because they felt like that people were getting too close.
Because a couple of old Jews were sticking their nose in.
Trying to stop the whole thing. That's right.
Because Larry Oliver.
Larry Oliver.
As in a very thinly veiled tribute to Simon Wiesenthal.
Yeah, Laurence Olivier for the uninitiated. Yes, Larry Oliver.
Yes.
Yeah, played a tribute to Simon Wiesenthal, the famous Nazi hunter. What a job. Man, I have a friend named Sam, and he's Jewish, and he was going to, you know, go to Israel and basically make you join the army for a year when you become Israeli citizen. It's a mandatory service deal. And we were like, man, we need to get you trained so you can join the Mossad, so we can go on Nazi hunting expeditions with you, you know. You can call us in, you know, it can be like your strike team in America. Because that would have been the best
When you need
ever.
Your Gentile backup.
Yep.
We need someone who's, yeah. Need someone less ethnic.
But they're pretty old now. Yeah, if you need to get into a place and they're going, no. No.
They're not
going to
let a Jew in here.
No. Yeah.
We need some call in Gentile squad. We show up in chinos and polo shirts.
Sure.
Hey, man.
That's
how's
like
it going?
Drunken frat boys. Getting the
Far
club.
Out, man. What's going on here?
I'm not sure I can do drunken frat boy. I don't look like a frat boy at all.
Oh, that's funny.
We'll just get you a Hawaiian shirt.
I have a Hawaiian shirt, and I still don't look like a frat boy when I wear it.
But even, I mean, yeah, the Nazis are all old, but you don't want to underestimate
them. Well, their
them.
Children are still out there, and you know, they can clone themselves. Obviously, they've done it with Hitler.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. Hitler's in the homes of these civil servants that have much younger wives. And the wives are kind of browbeaten, and Mengele has to go and...
And they have to engineer the sudden...
Death of the father.
Violent death of the father.
Yep.
At a certain age of the boy. They're trying to basically recreate Hitler's childhood for each of his clones, thinking that the conditions...
Would
I guess
cause.
It's sort of a classic sort of... And what is it? The
nurture versus nature.
Yeah, the environment versus heredity. That's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is it, you know, if Hitler had grown up anywhere else, would he have still been Hitler, or was it because of the conditions in which he grew up?
That's right.
So obviously they're on the side of environment.
What about all the outside influences, like the end defeat of Germany in World War One and the rise of communism?
Well, of course, those matters had to be taken place, but I think it was part of a grander scheme that Mengele had in mind. I mean, he was approaching the first real step in Hitler's life towards his becoming who he was, you know, and that's the death of his father. I believe he hoped to live long enough to be able to, because I believe that he was 12 when his father died, 12 or 13. Mm-hmm. He was in his mid-teens, close to his mid-teens, and he wouldn't have had much longer before he would have been of an age to where he would have been able to participate in a conflict that may have been part of a grander scheme that Odessa would have had in order for him to be put into a war situation, possibly lose, and then later to become the person that Hitler was, at least in the 20s, where he was part of the Nazi Party, which wouldn't have been hard for them to get going. Nazi Party even exists today. The
you can go to AmericanNaziParty.com.
Yep.
It's a really lame website. It's really just a bunch of, like, white power bullshit.
Well, of course. You can join the American White People's... No, the American Socialist White People's Party.
It's pretty lame.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
I thought the American White People's Party was just the Republican Party.
Ooh, ooh, zing! Oh, yeah.
That sounds, see, that's the stuff I usually say.
Sure.
But.
Well, Democrats are commies.
They're,
works like that.
Yeah. No, I don't think we have to worry about those American, so-called American Nazis. They're not part of the Fourth Reich.
No, they're kind of, you know.
They're just like the, yeah.
I mean, obviously. I mean, and what really strikes me as odd is skinheads' behavior is so much more like the SA than anything else. And we all know what happened to the SA.
Yeah, that's what I was just getting ready to say. They would eventually...
They got kicked out for being too violent and rowdy and drinking beer all the time. And, you know, Ernst Röhm got, like, well, he was buggering kids. And
they had their little island down south.
Sure, you know.
Little party island.
And then, you know, they got thrown out. And I just don't understand why they would behave like that. You know, I'm going to shave my head and wear, you know, red suspenders and white laces and kick the crap out of who I think is different than I am.
Mm-hmm. God, I fucking hate people that are different than me.
I mean, you'd think that if anybody wanted to be a Nazi, they would go get a leather trench coat and like a, you know, an officer's cap and a monocle.
Colonel, you know? Klink?
Exactly.
All dressed like Hauptmann Zessler from Where Eagles Dare, you know?
Exactly.
I think it'd be funny if they all had the little mustaches. That'd be awesome.
They all grew out of their mustache.
Right? Nobody ever does that. I mean, as much as they love Hitler... You're like, I ain't doing that mustache.
And
like,
Hitler had skater hair anyway.
Sure, he had that flip over, you know.
And so did
like Squeeb.
So did Himmler.
It's like Tony Hawk.
Yeah,
Himmler did Tony Hawk. Yeah, you know, his hair all like over to the side, like Tony Hawk in the early days. He didn't have it like that anymore.
When he had the bangs, he had skater bangs. Yeah.
So Hitler had skater bangs. So you think that like Hitler, when he was growing up, you know, because he's, you know, cloned and stuff, and he would have been like. You know, in the early 80s and stuff like that, you think he'd have been a skater?
I don't know. He was an
with
artist.
That hair.
He probably would have listened to the Smiths.
Well, I mean, yeah, sure.
I know he totally had a journal.
Totally. I mean, like,
he'd have the worst blog ever,
Hitler is
or
either...
Or live journal.
Hitler is on live journal, and he's into emo.
Oh, yeah. He would totally be that guy.
Yeah, because Hitler is totally emo.
Yeah.
He's vegetarian.
Like, yes.
He doesn't drink. He's like ex-Hitler ex.
Yes, and like nauseatingly sensitive about everything, yes. Yes, and every bad thing that ever happened to him, he'd go home and tell his journal about it.
Oh, my God.
Yep. I think we've hit a... It's a moment of declaration. Hitler was emo.
Yep.
He may have been like the original.
I think he was.
Hitler may have possibly been the original emo. Sensitive vegetarian artist. Oh, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What a legacy.
No, all these years later. I hate those guys.
See, I told you, I fucking hate Nazis. All these years later, what a legacy. As if the Holocaust wasn't bad enough.
Sure.
He had to leave all that. Man.
Wow.
Oh, we've had a moment here.
I know.
It's like an epiphany.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like an epiphany. Suddenly, it all makes sense.
Hitler was emo.
Yep.
You heard it here first.
I knew he was, one of the most, one of the least popular individuals of modern history.
Sure. And that's how to do it.
But then you had to throw emo on it. But anyway. So, who is the Fourth Reich today?
I believe it would have to be either the minions left behind from World War II are getting so close to being like, even the ones that would have been in their early 30s during the war.
Sure, they're old now.
Are going to be like,
But it's a family.
90
it's
years
a,
old,
it is,
almost.
For lack of a better term, it's a family business.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, they're all the people who are just getting indoctrinated.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Hitler-Jugend.
Either they cloned themselves or they raised families, which we know to be true.
Or they had their brains transplanted into super powerful
robots?
Robotic chassis?
Nazi robots?
I think the forces of good are doing that in South Korea with that Einstein robot.
Well, yeah, they have the Einstein's brain was saved, and I think Einstein knew that Hitler's brain was saved, and he knew that if I don't
And he knew that someday
brain,
that they would have to fight for the fate of mankind.
Exactly.
They're going to be like, oh.
Einstein bot fights Hitler bot?
Yeah. It's going to be like the Transformers.
Right on.
Yep.
Well, what does Einstein transform into?
I think Einstein can transform into
a Merkava tank.
Sure.
Hitler turns into a Volkswagen.
Man, that's
with
just...
Panzerfaust for arms, Just blam, blam!
Rad.
Oh, have you ever played... Well, I mean, there's, there's Wolfenstein, man.
Right
Wolfenstein.
On. Wolfenstein combines everything that's cool into one single video game.
Yes. It's got Nazis.
Well, no, it doesn't have
zombies.
Robots. It doesn't really fully have robots. But they do have those semi-cyborg guys.
Yes, you had the original Wolfenstein had Hitler with a chain gun in his chest, and he was...
And there's those weird Ubersoldaten guys that are like lightning-powered cyborg dudes.
Yeah, they sort of harness dark magic and wound up with a bunch of Nazi zombie soldiers.
It's weird. It's World War II game, but with all the weird... See, like 90% of the books that I've read about the Nazi stuff are all the weird Nazis in the occult conspiracy. Woo. Mazel tov.
Yes. It's our beer, ladies and gentlemen. We are drinking two types of Belgian beer tonight.
In a tribute to the Nazis
for the weekend they spent in Belgium.
For the best three-day weekend of the war that was Belgium.
We're drinking Pirate. With two A's. It's P-I-R-A-A-T.
It's Pirate.
We couldn't decide whether or not there were actual Belgian pirates or not, though.
Because we eventually...
Maybe at least one.
We weren't... Because Belgium wasn't even a country, really, during the...
I guess.
Thomas Drake. And
go get the Walloon.
Or Sir Francis Drake, rather. Not Thomas Drake.
Sil Francis Blake?
Sil Francis. Yes, Sir Francis Drake.
Where were we? We were discussing
the video game.
Ah, Wolfenstein. Yes.
Yeah.
Man, I wish that Mortar game had been better.
Yeah, I like Mortar. The beginning of the game was awesome.
See, that's
but
the,
it just
the thing
it
is
digressed
like,
because you had to go in forward in time.
It's so. That's what I see. I'm currently playing Call of Duty 2. It's just. I mean, you could play the same fundamental format of a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a first-person shooter, right? Why is it so much better when I get to kill Nazis?
I don't know. I mean, I think Nazis were really built to shoot at.
I mean, I could play the same game.
Maybe it's because...
I could be positive energy bot fighting the negative energy bots.
Maybe it's because...
Why is it better when I'm killing Nazis?
We're the sons...
Because of Hogan's Heroes.
What it goes back to?
We're the sons... and daughters of an era.
Well, it's the unquestionably, it's the greatest campaign against evil in modern history.
Yeah.
And it is the single greatest global conflict, at least that we ever know of.
That has ever taken place, sure.
If you believe, quote unquote, history. you know, it's just, I guess they're just so, like, it's just so hard in any way to be sympathetic about the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, I believe you're right.
You're just like, it's so unbelievably, it's the greatest campaign against evil. So, and obviously, you know, we grew up watching it all as black and white newsreel footage and some kick-ass movies from the 60s.
And the little plastic guns of Navarone and action, not action figures, but toy soldiers.
Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, you like that stuff. So it's like, it's this, you know, now it's as close to the real, it's as close to really killing Nazis as we've come yet.
It was the age of heroes and the age of villains, you know. It was very cut and dry. It was very,
but the strange thing is like, yeah, it's so clear cut as to what was going on. And yet it's so strange because the heroes of it all are like, you know, it's all that G.I. Joe stuff. It's just the regular guys. It's the regular guys going over there to get the job done. And it's the bad guys that are all these crazy, weird, nutball, cartoonish, over-the-top freak motherfuckers. You know, you look at the origins of the Nazi Party, all the weird, the occult shit going all the way back to, you know, the early 20s and the Thule Society and these, like, weird, pseudo-weird occultist, spiritualist, you know, nutball motherfuckers that were fairly, were for the most part, well-to-do and well-educated. But, you know, spiritualism was a big fad at the time. I'll grant them that. There were a lot of people that got into that stuff looking for something. Like, I guess nowadays they have Scientology. you've got money and influence, but you still don't have the sense of personal satisfaction and peace, you know. But anyway, it's the same thing. It was, you know, a lot of spiritualism, you know, if you were poor and all you cared about was trying to find your next meal, you didn't really have a whole lot of time to stop and think about the meaning of life.
No, but if somebody was giving you something that you needed and they also had a message to give
you at
the same
the origin of all, you know, spiritualism was very popular among, like, the well-to-do and the aristocrats. So you had all these, like, German aristocrats, and they're meddling in all this stuff because it makes them feel special or sophisticated or something. And all that stuff that was the origin of so much of it. And then the stuff that, you know, once they came into power, they downplayed a lot of that stuff.
Because it's the method of how they got the power. That's why they got rid of the SA.
And then you've still got guys like Himmler who, you know, throughout the whole thing was, you know, still believed in all that stuff. And the stuff with Babelsberg Castle and, like, the shrine to the Knights of the SS. And he supposedly believed himself to be a reincarnation of Heinrich.
Yeah, it was one of the
Heinrich the First or something like that.
Some of the Holy Roman Emperor.
Yeah, and all that stuff. And all that weird, there's a lot of that, that Teutonic, like, nature, that Volk stuff of, like, the, you know, the country folk and the simple life and this kind of that, you know, spirit of Wotan shit.
There was that earlier.
Well, everything else, it had a strange dichotomy that didn't make sense. It was like this mechanized, modern state.
Yeah.
That was also at the same
somehow
time
idealized,
trying,
like,
to become an agrarian.
Idealized that simple country folk that was like the purest and simplest of people. And yet they were like cutting edge technology and highly, you know, sophisticated, and took that sort of mechanization and streamlining of things to such an unbelievable level.
Well, sure.
You know, which is the weird thing. And you look at it and it's like, and there's so much science applied to everything. If you look at, like, the, you know,
or quote unquote science.
Yeah, but I mean, there's pseudoscience too. But I mean, there's stuff like, if you look at, like, how really precisely, like, with Goebbels and, like, the propaganda stuff and, like, the way it was, what we would now recognize largely as, like, marketing.
Yeah.
The way things were, like, analyzed and studied and, like, you know, you need to do this and you need to look like this and you need to show this to, because this is what, you know, it's like marketing and demographic strategy, and you've got to sell stuff to people, you know, you've got that where it's like really seems logical and kind of concise and clear-headed.
Sure.
And then it's mixed with like all the weird, like crazy shit.
Well, that's what a lot of people said about the German people is when the war was lost, it's like they came out of a daze.
Yeah.
It's like that they had been there. And they had done the things that they had did, and they knew it, but they were like, how did this all take place?
And there's
it's
so
almost
much,
like they didn't
there's,
know.
There's so much weird stuff there.
Or they didn't want to know.
Or the, you yeah. know, or oh, the, yeah. you know, the spell was broken, so to
yeah,
speak,
that,
with the
this,
death of
yeah,
Hitler,
yeah.
Or the supposed death
but yeah, you mix, like all that stuff that's actually, you know, like, seems, you know, very, it's very, like, concise, technical science, like being applied in like a very cold and deliberate way, and then you mix that with like all this weird, flaky, just bizarre shit, and you're like, "How the fuck
yeah?" That was large. That wasn't totally Himmler, but he was the one who was responsible for all that. They always say like, you know, well, they always call him like a failed chicken farmer or whatever. Yeah. It's because he was pre-Nazism. He was into this. It wasn't Nazism because it technically, but it was. Pretty much the same thing, but it was a whole blood and soil thing. And they were like, you know, well, the only way we can save our race is to get back to the land and be peasants.
Yeah.
And apparently all his chickens died or something. I don't
know. Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Well, moving towards like a Fourth Reich, from the where we're at right now in the beginnings and the mechanisms of the Third Reich, where do you see, like, the methods of the Third Reich connecting to the methods of the Fourth? I mean, you have so many like things in pop culture that are there, such as like Wolfenstein. That, you know, you have like the
yeah.
the Nazi.
Well, I mean, I think
magic.
That's what I mean. I think
the,
it's
the,
so it's
the,
so
the
strange that
magic.
It's so strange that all these years, all these years later, it's still such a strangely powerful cultural entity.
Yeah. I mean, you know? Have, like, Hellboy with the...
yeah, I mean, it's
Hellboy
so
was basically a demon brought up from this place in the... Well, a dimension, you know, in order to destroy the world. And was released by Nazis.
Fucking Nazis.
After World War
II. And Rasputin, wasn't it?
Yeah, and Rasputin.
Yes.
I don't know, will the Fourth Reich necessarily be like a German racialist thing?
No.
Or will it,
I think it'll be, you know...
I'm thinking more corporate.
Yeah, I was going to say, it'll be a thing of its time, as the Third Reich was,
yeah.
you know, a product of
yeah.
its time.
A reaction
yeah.
to the loss and the war,
yeah.
and
yeah.
the inherent, like, anti-Semitism of Germany at the time, and
yeah.
obviously anti-communist, that's... one of the big things.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, it'll be very, you know, it's a very different thing.
Well, it needs to have...
For a very different
Well, that's
world.
What the type of, the brand of socialism that the Nazis held was that there needs to be money to be made.
Yeah.
But it needs to be controlled by the government of how that money is made, you know. It's like, yeah, we want you to be able to make your product, and we want you to be able to be rich for making it. We want you to have your employees make money to do it. But we want to supply you with the contract that allows you to be able to make your product. Basically, we want to push your product on the people. And if they don't want it, well, then that's all they got. You know, that's how National Socialism
National
worked.
National Socialism.
And companies thrived because of it. I mean, look at the Krupps.
Well, the Krupps were pretty big long before
yeah.
that.
Well, yeah, but they made a ton of money during the war.
What if you look at, like...
And Ferdinand Porsche went to jail, you know, for using
labor.
Slave labor. And then when he came out, his kids had made him a company that's still around as
the
finest
automobile
makers
in the world.
That
was French vindictiveness.
French vindictiveness?
Yes. The French wanted to put him in jail.
I wonder what...
Well, he built the Tigers. I mean, he built some of the best tanks...
They would have been the best tanks if they had not been rushed through production.
Well, that's the thing about war, though. You really can't just
yeah.
go. I mean, they were developing.
And that's proof that he was just more of a brilliant engineer.
Well, that's the thing.
Than a diehard Nazi. He wanted good tanks.
Don't know.
They wanted to
kill
people.
We defeated Germany in World War II at the height of production. Like, they were not beaten down and didn't have anything left when we defeated them. They were at the height of production. By the time we moved into the Ruhr, which is the region in Germany where all of the factories were making all of this stuff. They were at the height of what they were building. Like,
well,
they had,
not all of it. There was
they had made jets. You know, they had like a whole bunch of stuff that like nobody had anything in the works to build.
And they moved a lot of that stuff underground.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
But they were
the
big factories
in the Harz Mountains.
And yeah. So much of that stuff came over to the U.S. in the form of
Operation Paperclip.
Hmm. Yep. And that's a lot of the guys came over with it.
Yep. V2s.
And I want to know what happened to that
Dornberger
synthetic gasoline factory that they found.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But Operation Lusty was the one where they brought the ME-262s.
Yeah.
Brought all the jets and stuff back and the 163, the Comet. That was Operation Lusty.
193,
perhaps.
But, of course, Von Braun.
Yeah, Von Braun and Walter Dornberger. That was Operation Paperclip was when we brought in all the, like, yeah. the heavy water atomic yep. bomb dudes.
Probably yeah. a ton of just the technicians.
Yeah, just a lot of guys you don't
and
know.
And the Nazis had their atomic bomb program in the works before we did. However, the way that Hitler had the system working out, he had scientists in competition with each other. And so instead of sharing information, they kept it to each other in separate groups. And he did have heavy water facilities in, like, Norway, trying to, you know, develop the way that they could compiles of the uranium in order to make plutonium. And they were working on the bomb, but they weren't successful in how they were doing that. We got everybody together.
Cloister
put them in one place.
Yeah, and said, make a fucking bomb.
Sure, that's exactly
all you friggin' eggheads, get your hands off your dicks and make a fucking bomb.
Yeah, I wonder if they had made one, obviously they couldn't get it to America.
No, they would have done...
Well,
I think they would have just done Moscow.
I don't know, man. There's all that England stuff about the America bomber,
Yeah,
prototype America bomber that supposedly could have hit New York.
Actually, the Italians came way closer to developing a bomber. It was a seaplane, and they would hook up with a.
But think about it. Had they been able to nuke England, D-Day couldn't have happened. The supply chain would have been broken at its source.
Well, yeah, but we could have still gone through with like Operation Dragoon. And
but see, the thing is like, but I think if they'd had one, I think it's much more likely they would have hit us. Just for like the psychological effect.
Well, possibly, but
because there's
I don't know
that prototype supposedly, you know, they had that design.
Psychological effect is one thing, but practical effect is another. And if they'd have taken out England
bombed
London,
but see, that's what we did when we had when we had two atomic bombs.
But Hitler had already proved that he wanted to make a psychological effect on England. Anyways, he wanted to get them out of the war by bombing them.
But did it work?
Where they lived? Well, no. But an atomic bomb would have done it because there wouldn't have been anybody left to bitch.
He would have taken out what?
London.
Maybe, wouldn't have leveled the whole city.
Well, no, but it would have taken enough people out to where there wouldn't have been much left.
I don't think it would have crippled England.
Possibly.
I mean, that's the thing.
Morale-wise, it probably would, especially if he got the royal.
But I believe it would have been the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, we almost lost.
If you've got like
taking care of the spots in like Peenemünde, where we went to stop the V2s, because you know a lot of the Operation Market Garden was to get us in position to take out a lot of those bomb sites or the missile sites, and I mean that's what they wanted done.
We also needed a port.
Deep
water port.
We did need ports. But the English people wanted that done. But that's neither here nor there. We're actually trying to focus more on where that would have ended up today had they been successful.
I don't think it would have changed the course of the war, really, ultimately.
To where they would have actually won?
I think it would have changed...
You mean if they'd had an atomic bomb?
Yeah, if they had one and used it. It might have changed the peace after the war, after we beat them, because I think the Soviets would have been in charge of more of Western Europe than they were. The
Soviets might have made it all the way to the Atlantic.
Yeah, so, well, they would have at least gotten to the Rhine, so they would have all of Germany.
But if the Fourth Reich is to succeed in this day and age,
It's going to be corporate, man.
It's going to be a corporation.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And
it's like,
not
because
come
because
slinging the same things. They're not going to raise the swastika.
Because I mean, like I said, it'll be a Reich for the modern world. It's, you know, that's the battlefield of today. It's all fucking money, more so than ever. You know, I mean, it's like it'll be a corporate thing because that's where the power is. Power comes from the money.
Nazi gold funding the corporation of tomorrow that's going to bring the...
So are there strange multinationals out there that...
Daimler-Benz is talking about opening up a bank in America.
Okay. Well, there's Deutsche Bank.
Yeah.
You know, which is, you know, one of the largest banks in the world for any kind of corporate funding.
The 3M Corporation.
Doesn't necessarily have to be a German country. A company, rather. There are a lot of firms in Germany that had, you know, multinational interests before World War II. Krupp being one of them. But yeah, I mean, there was the...
IG Farben.
IG Farben.
IG, yeah, Bayer.
Yeah.
Bayer, yeah.
Bayer goes way back.
Even Mengele. Mengele is a farm equipment company.
I thought they were a department store down there.
I thought they were a farm.
There's something down in South America called Mengele, isn't it?
Well, in Germany, they were
traditional.
They were a farm equipment.
Yeah, there's like a store chain in Argentina that's called.
But Mengele. Yeah, IG Farben and Bayer, like what we know for Bayer aspirin. Yeah. That's a very old school.
And I mean, it's mostly like here. It's mostly office products and blank tapes. But 3M is a huge corporation.
Yeah.
And they're based in Germany somewhere.
Hmm.
Sure. I mean, the world's third largest economy behind Japan and the United States. Well, United States, Japan, then Germany. And now it looks like China, which we'll save that for another episode.
Yeah, they're a weird...
the Chinese
the
connection.
China, the Chinamanese.
But yeah, that's... that's probably what we're going to see, is we're going to see a corporation.
And Hitler's atomic brain is a fortress somewhere in Antarctica running the whole thing.
That's right.
Via the internet.
He's pulling the strings.
I still think it's the gnomes of Zurich.
See, there
the
you go.
The Swiss chocolate cartels.
I mean,
cartels.
That's we left that out. You
Swiss
know,
banking.
The real holders of Hitler's gold
were the
Nazi gold.
Swiss and their pseudo-neutrality.
Sure.
Hundreds and hundreds of years of pseudo-neutrality.
Stuffed all the Nazi gold into Switzerland, and then
when they were neutral and yet supplying the mercenaries that fought every war in Europe.
Yeah.
So.
Yep.
And yet we're neutral, and yet Swiss mercenaries fought every war, fought the bulk of the, you know, frontline combat in every war. But yes, the gnomes of Zurich, the Swiss chocolate cartels.
Yeah, I think that's actually probably the thing. I mean, if anything, those who would detract from our statement saying that the Nazis are still around trying to propagate the Fourth Reich might even admit to the fact that the gnomes of Zurich might have held on to enough gold that nobody claimed in order to be able to fund their own ends and push, like... their own agendas from unclaimed Nazi gold.
Oh, I suppose it's possible.
Nobody really knows what's happening under those mountains.
No?
Nope.
It's a top secret facility.
That's right. Still, they say that every bridge in Switzerland is...
rigged with explosives?
Yep.
Supposedly there's like storehouses of arms all over the place.
And they can hold like... 80% of their population underground for a year or so.
Yeah.
So that's what you get when you have a super small country that's super rich, that they're able to do that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
If you have a country the size of Pennsylvania, basically...
I think it's smaller.
It may even be smaller than that.
So if the Fourth Reich is in many ways different than the Third Reich, what is their ultimate... is their ultimate goal is presumably still the same.
I would believe so. Destruction of Israel. Because of the...
We're assuming to strip it all down, like basically...
world domination.
They want to run things because they think they're better than everybody else.
Sure.
And it's their...
Uber Soldaten.
And they're the ones that are best fit to run things.
Yes.
And then, certain people are worthy to be their subjects, but then the Jews just need to be gone.
Well, the destruction of the Jews has been their goal from Hitler, basically using that. I don't know if it was a scapegoat so he could focus power, or he seemed to be intent on the destruction of the Jews to the point where he was actually pulling people out of the front.
He didn't make that up. It was, you know,
anti-Semitism runs really long and deep, but
he pushed it, you know, as through policy.
To the point
where it was
anti-Semitism
like,
was throughout.
But
a
even
good
when
portion
it was costing
Europe.
Him more yeah. on the line on the front yeah. lines, he was still pushing it. And the thing is, I mean, nowadays, if you look to the Middle East, and I mean, I know that this has been going on since time immemorial and biblical times, you know, all the way back to Abraham and his sons and stuff, but you've
all
got
the way,
a lot
all the
of
way
countries,
back to when they made that stuff up.
Sure. Well, you got a lot going on in the Middle East, all aimed at all aimed at Israel. And Israel, although they have less Jews than New York City, is still the bastion of Hebrew influence.
Well, it's
in
Israel.
The world, so it's Israel, of course.
Yeah, I mean,
and there is a lot of hatred towards Israel.
I guess it's what it represents.
And
I mean,
a lot of oil money, you know, that could be, you know, there might
be could
be
spent buying. They could be spent on the white slavery market buying college girls.
Well, yeah.
I mean, at least the Sultan of Brunei was spending his money wisely.
You make a valid point.
He was buying gold toilets and college girls, right? I want blonde college girls with a lot of titties. See, he didn't care about Israel. He was filthy rich on oil, and he bought solid gold toilets and some blonde bimbo college girls.
But they could have been Nazi gold toilet.
You know? And he could have been piping it into the destruction of Israel.
I still think Hitler's brain is in a jar someplace in South America.
I think it's in the fortress in Antarctica.
Well, possibly.
I think he's jacked into the internet and he's controlling the whole thing.
He's been like
there's a bunch of friggin' hollow.
Quiet about all this. Liechtenstein.
Oh, that's right. Our friends in Liechtenstein.
Oh, they're no friends of mine.
Well, to be a city-state, that's just a strange thing altogether. Principality.
Yep.
What is a count anyway?
Count?
What do you? I mean, well, yeah. Well, there is the whole like.
So there's if
Nazi zombie.
Liechtenstein
Nazi
is a principality, isn't it?
So.
Yes.
Yeah. But is there a prince?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It was at one point it was
kind of like Monaco, but
yeah. Well, technically.
But they didn't have a race.
No. Or they're not
or
a
gambler.
Or Grace Kelly.
Nope.
Or beachfront property.
No.
Got a lot of skiing.
Okay. You have ski resorts in Liechtenstein.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, they have ski resorts in Monaco. All you got to do is go up in the mountains.
Yeah. They got it all in Monaco. Casinos.
Yeah, they do. Oh, my God.
Riviera.
Yep.
They have ski resorts in Monaco?
I believe
I
so, in the mountains.
I think it's...
It's awfully small.
Well,
they probably
I
have, like,
think
day
they
trips
would. I mean,
to the French Alps.
It, when they run the...
I don't know.
When they run the Monaco,
that's true. The
rally.
No, that's,
I mean,
yeah, the Monte Carlo Rally. There's a lot of snow up in those mountains, isn't there?
Sure. I mean, it's feasible for them. I don't know.
Wow,
we're off subject.
Yeah, but
we didn't really go off subject this show until now.
Speaking of Nazis and Monte Carlo, that makes me think of Gravity's Rainbow.
Sure.
Yeah.
Gravity's Rainbow is a hell of a book about Nazis.
Yeah, when they're all at the casino, Hermann Göring. They're on the.
Not too long ago, I tried to find out exactly what happened to Monaco during World War II, and I could not find anything.
They're only talking about that much.
Yeah.
Of course, there was the beginning of the movie Stalingrad, where they're basically on the French Riviera. You know,
no, they were in Italy, I think.
Were they in Italy? I thought they were in France. I'm almost certain they were in France.
But that's the, yeah.
Like
I,
in Nice
I,
or someplace.
But yeah, you mentioned Operation Dragoon earlier.
Yeah.
The second invasion of France, which is like, I was watching a show recently, but they were showing some archival footage, like film footage of the amphibious landing of Operation Dragoon, and I was like, I stopped and thought about it. It's like the It's like the amphibious invasion of the French Riviera. Yeah, it's like, sure. You look at the crap they went through at Normandy, you know, and it's like, these dudes got to storm the beaches of, like, Monaco, dude.
That's
like,
right. Get that casino up and running. We need to get the power on over in that building there.
You know, there's some American brigadier going, I'll take this casino over here as my field headquarters, and give me the penthouse of that hotel. I'll take the top 3 floors.
There was that one casino in Normandy that they had heavily fortified. It wasn't a casino anymore, obviously. They had turned it into a fort.
I thought about, like, an amphibious landing on the French Riviera. And, of course, it was fairly soon after D-Day, so they actually learned a lot of lessons from D-Day. So, you know, Operation Dragoon went pretty smoothly.
I'm pretty sure that, because the only thing I'd found said that, you know, Monaco had somewhere in, like either right before World War One or right after, they had just tied all their foreign affairs with France. And so I just assumed that they were occupied with Vichy, too. Or occupied, you know, all at the same time. And I don't think there was really a Battle of Monaco.
No, I probably was largely untouched.
Yeah.
No, the...
had no real...
Because the real thrust was all through Italy, so...
Yeah, I think Monaco is technically a principality of France, but since there's no longer a royal family in France... Hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I think technically Luxembourg might be a principality of Belgium... But technically, they're separate cities or separate countries.
I think it was like.
Doesn't Belgium still have a king?
Yeah, but yeah. I mean, they're separate. Those two are totally separate countries.
Yeah.
But, or at least it was. I don't really know.
Well, we're nearing the end of the show, and I wanted to run down a few things that we may have not touched upon, and that's some of the subjects in movies and books that that touch upon the Fourth Reich and where you can go for further information, because. We didn't have enough time tonight to discuss all the things we really wanted to talk about with the Nazis.